And we don't worry about kids here. And so if they get up and run around, you can run after them if you want. That's okay. But we don't mind crying babies and all that kind of stuff here, amen? And Faith Family, we'll just take it all. And plus, I haven't met a child or a baby that I can't out-preach yet. So we have a message. This is the meat of the service. This is why we gather together to worship God. It's to open up God's Word so that He would speak through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to the people of God. And so we have a question. There's a question I want to ask you this morning. What difference does the gospel make? What difference does the gospel make? We already heard in our memory verse for this month, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4 tells us what the gospel is. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he tells us, I declare to you of first importance that which I received, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what the gospel is. But what the question this morning is, what difference does the gospel make as we face our sin and we respond to our suffering? And so many would ask, and I believe theologically and practically wrong, they would ask this question, how do we find peace with God? Or they would ask, how do people change? That's missing the major and the key ingredient. The right way to ask that question is, how does Christ bring us peace? How does Christ change us? See, it's all, there is no peace with God without the person and work of Jesus Christ. There is no change into the image of His Son without the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus made that very clear, Robert, in His favorite verse, John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl cometh unto the Father but by me, but through me. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so evangelicals and biblical pastors typically answer those two questions. How does Christ bring us peace, and how does He bring us change, with one word? And they would say that word is justification. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there is so much more than just, if I could say, just justification. As wonderful and great as justification is, there is so much more than that. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to share with you four big theological words. And by the way, we're not afraid of big theological words here at Mount Zion Baptist Church. We like them. That's our history. And so I'm going to preach. The outline is, we're going to look at how God, what difference does the gospel make? Well, the justification, our reconciliation, our regeneration, and our redemption. Those four theological words is what the gospel makes a difference in our life. It's those four theological words that allow us for Christ to bring us peace, that allows Christ to change us. And so we're going to first look and explore at our new nurture. Our new nurture. That when I say nurture, I'm emphasizing this new and wonderful relationship that we have with God the Father. And that those two words that have to deal with our nurture are justification and reconciliation. This new relationship that we have with the Creator God of the universe, it's all Him. And I just want to remind you that there's nothing that you and I can do to work our way to heaven. That there's nothing we can do. I'll remind you again, verses that you already know, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace are you saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of your works. There's nobody going to be boasting in glory for what they did to get there. They're only going to be boasting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I'll remind you of Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, great verses. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But, I love that three-letter word, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of our works we did by our own righteousness, but according to His mercy. And so the first part of this message, we're going to talk about our nurture, our new relationship that we have because of God's wonderful grace. And it emphasizes who we are to Christ. And it answers that question, justification and reconciliation, how Christ brings us peace. And then in the second half of the message, we're going to talk about our new nature. Oh, our new nature is that we are new creation in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so by this new nature, I'm emphasizing the truth that a real change has taken place in your life when we were made new people in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so this, again, answers our new nature, answers the question, how is it that Christ changes us? And that's going to deal with regeneration and our redemption. And so I want us, since the Scripture often gives us these wonderful word pictures in our mind, I want to do that this morning to try to illustrate this complete salvation that we have. Imagine, if you would, in your mind's eye, the most violent, vilest, wicked offender that you can possibly imagine. Imagine that with you, this person who has, he's like a Hitler and a Stalin. He's like Charles Manson and Bundy. He's like Jack the Ripper, all made up in one person. We'll give him a name. His first name is Mr. Wicked. His last name is Evil. Mr. Wicked Evil. He is standing before the judge, and he's going to give an account for his crimes. And can you imagine with me, if you will, all the reporters are there from CNN and Fox and all the internet, and all the bloggers are there giving us play-by-play of what's happening with Mr. Wicked Evil as he stands before this judge. And shockingly, they hear Mr. Evil, and they hear his plea of, I am guilty. But then Mr. Wicked Evil, he pleads for forgiveness. He asks for mercy. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, the judge there looks at Mr. Wicked Evil and says, I declare you not guilty. I declare you forgiven. Can you imagine the stunned reporters and even the people in the jury and the crowd there, even Mr. Wicked Evil's own legal team? What are you talking about, Judge? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? He just pleaded guilty to all the worst crimes you could possibly imagine. This is a farce. He's guilty. His crimes need to be paid for. And the judge calmly looks at the crowd and he says, his crimes have been paid for. His crimes have been paid for. His crimes have been paid for by my innocent Son. I have taken His innocence and His righteousness and I have given them to Mr. Wicked Evil. And He is forgiven. He is declared not guilty. He is free to go. That's the reality of what the difference that the gospel makes in your and my life. It's the innocence that we have. This is the reality. God, our judge, justifies us, declaring us not guilty, forgiving us our trespasses, reckoning us His Son's righteousness to our account. And He takes the unrighteousness and the sin and the wickedness and the evil of Mr. Wicked Evil, He places it on His Son. It's our justification, the amazing grace of justification. As Paul says again to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He has made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, how does Christ bring us peace with God as we are under the wrath of God, as we stand guilty before God? We all must understand and apply the change in our relation that has already happened. It's already occurred. You've already been declared not guilty. The God as judge has pardoned you, said forgiven. And we need to live out that truth. We need to believe what Romans 8:1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We put off Satan's lies when he whispers that you're guilty, that you're wicked, that you're dirty, that you're no good, and we put on the truth of Jesus Christ, that we are justified. God is our judge, has given us a new pardon. He says forgiven. He says, not guilty. I'm taking your guilt and I am placing it on my Son, Jesus. As amazing as the grace of justification is, we sometimes stop too soon, as many of you are right now. This is good enough. Let's go eat. Amen. We stop too soon. We often say this. I've heard this often in my Christian walk. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. And as true as that is, we're not just forgiven. And so to the justification now, God adds reconciliation. All right, with our justification, God as judge gives us a new pardon, declares us not guilty, forgiven. In our reconciliation, our God gives us a new peace, as now God is our Father. He says to you and I, welcome home. Welcome home. Imagine the spectators again in the courtroom. They're yelling, but he's still evil. He's still wicked through and through. A man like him can never change. He's a danger to society. He must be locked up. He must be guarded. And then the judge replies, "He will live with me. I'm not just going to declare him not guilty and forgiven. I'm going to come off this judgment seat and I'm going to take him by the hand and I'm going to take him home with me. I'm going to open up the door and you as my child are going to enjoy everything that my Son has enjoyed for eternity. I'm going to take off the judge's robe and I'm going to put on the stretchy pants." Which, if you didn't wear your stretchy pants today, you made a grave mistake. And he says, "I am going to make you part of my family. I'm going to make you part of my children, as he says, to many as received him, John 1:12. Who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. As Paul says in Romans 8:16, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. The judge becomes our adoptive family, our adoptive father, and he says, welcome home. So how does reconciliation bring us peace with God? We must understand and apply the truth of the change of our relationship with God. Our nurture has changed, and this has already occurred. We are already forgiven. We are already declared not guilty. We are in the Father's home. What would happen in our life if we would claim the truth of Scripture in Romans 5:1? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Justification and reconciliation address our relationship to God. The holy judge and the loving Father, combined, they show us who we are to Christ. It's our new nurture. We have a new relationship, justified, reconciled. God, as our judge, declares us forgiven and not guilty. God, as our Father, declares us His child and welcomes us home. That's the new relationship. That's the new nurture we have. But imagine, there's still the crowd there outside and in the courtroom. They're indignant. They tell the judge that guarantees nothing. Judge, all your good intentions, all the love you have in the world, this new wonderful environment does not guarantee that Mr. Evil will not continue his rampage. Mr. Evil has peace with God. He's not under the wrath of God anymore, but Mr. Wicked Evil is not being changed. He's not changed yet. And the judge says, I'm not finished yet. I've consulted the best medical experts on the entire planet. Mr. Wicked Evil will receive a new heart. Mr. Wicked Evil will receive a new brain. Mr. Wicked Evil will receive a new soul transplant, along with a DNA graft infusing into his very being, my very nature. That's good. That's good. The judge of the criminal, or the father of the adult son, becomes the creator and life giver of a newborn infant. It's called regeneration. It's called regeneration. Like father, like son. We are born again of an incorruptible seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. Born from above to reflect the image of God as your Creator. You're reborn with a new nature. You're reborn with a new heart, a new soul, a new mind, a new will, even new emotions, ladies. That was a joke. The new nature, regeneration, this new birth, brings the ability to relate to God, others, and self, to think, choose, and feel in Christ-like ways. God creates a new heart within us. new capabilities, new disposition, inclinations, purity, desires. He does that through His new nature by us being born again in our regeneration. We are not only pardoned, but we're not only new people, but also we are saints. We are saints. This is the amazing grace of regeneration, the new creation in Christ. And so, as the story of Mr. Wicked Evil correctly indicates, a new nurture, which is our justification, not guilty, forgiven, and our reconciliation. He's our Father, and He says, welcome home. Without the new nature, the regeneration and redemption, it's insufficient to change. We got to have the nature. What changes us? How do people change? Christ changes us. That's why Christ is our vision here. As new creations in Christ, we are already changed internally, and now we help one another to live and to grow into the new life already implanted within us. To become what we already are, new creations in Christ. As Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. He says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, and from Him only, who is the Spirit. Regeneration, saints, are new creations in Christ. And so now the crowd is stunned as they realize God, as judge, has given us a new pardon. Forgiven. Not guilty. And God, as the Father, has said, welcome home. Come on into the home. And God, in our regeneration, has said, you're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Old new things are becoming new. And then the silence in the crowd, totally stunned about what's taking place here. A hand shoots up. But that only means that Mr. Wicked Evil has a clean start. What about all his old acquaintances? What about all his old habits and hang-ups, that sinful rut that he's been in? They're still going to be coming around, clamoring for his attention and demanding his loyalty and his affection. What about that, Judge? Father? Fair question, the judge agrees. We've thought of everything, though. You see, I have jailed and chained all his old acquaintances. His foes are defeated. Plus, we've infused his new heart. We've infused his new brain and soul and this DNA complex with core power to remain free and victorious over these past tempters. Not only do you have a new power, a new person, a new peace, but you have a new pardon. All of these is our salvation. This is the salvation, the grace of redemption, freedom from the power of sin, freedom from bondage and slavery to sin. We need victory, and I will tell you, as God is our victor, we have it. We have the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to say no to those old acquaintances, no to those hang-ups and sins of the past. We have been set free from the power of sin and death and united with the resurrection power of Christ. Romans 6:17 and 18 says, but thanks be to God. That you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness. We have Christ's resurrection power to be victorious over the world, the flesh, the devil, sin, and death. We are new creations with new power because of the new nature of regeneration and redemption. I want to read, as the worship team comes up, I want to read to you. I know you're amazed. This is the shortest message you'll get. You get one once a year. Let me read you this. I love this passage. Listen, Romans 8:31 to the end of the chapter. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Justification, reconciliation, regeneration, redemption. With that, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Or who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Or who shall, I ask, separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or Joe Biden? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No! No! In all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, depth, anything, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? God is our judge. God is our judge, gives us a new pardon in our justification. Listen, to your sin and condemnation, the gospel says, not guilty, forgiven. Please let that truth sink in. God, as your judge, says you are not guilty. Please stop listening to the world and Satan. You have been reckoned right by God Himself. And then God, as your Father, gives you a new peace. It's called reconciliation to your lostness, to your aloneness. The gospel says you're accepted. God, as Father, says you're mine. You're my family. You're my son. You're my daughter. Welcome home. That's your new nurture. That's the new relationship that you have. That's how Christ can bring you and give you the peace with God. But then God is your creator. He makes you a new person. It's called regeneration. To your fallenness and heart of stone, the gospel says you're a new creation in Christ. You are a saint. And then God is your champion. As your victory, He gives you the power over sin and Satan and death and all of that. It's called your redemption. And so to your enslavement to sin and defeat at the hands of the world, the flesh, and the devil, the gospel says, you are more than conquerors through Christ. And so to salvation and suffering, oh, to your deep grief, the gospel says, mourning does not have the final word. Healing does, Trish. Joy does. And so the author of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? Oh, what difference does the gospel make? Everything. Everything. And so I plead with you this morning, if you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, won't you accept so great a salvation? How can you say no? Jesus went all the way to the cross. He died for your sins, according to the Scripture. Was buried and on the third day rose again according to the Scriptures. And He came to seek. His mission state was to come to seek and to save that which is lost. We're all of us are Mr. Wicked and Evil until Christ comes and justifies and then gives us our reconciliation and our regeneration and our redemption. Would you, in these moments, cry out to God and say, save me. I want so great a salvation. I am Mr. Wicked Evil. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. To Him who gave the power, me the power to become the child of God through His Son. And oh, Christian, this morning, oh, I pray as we get up in a moment and as we respond to the Word of God, I pray that our voices, as wonderful as they were before the preaching of the Word, having a greater understanding of so great a salvation, that we would pipe up and praise just a little louder to Your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.